Evening. Welcome to Loud the Monkey Music Show. Tev on Courtney Taylor Taylor from the D&D Warhols. How are you?
Good. Doing good.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I've been enjoying your new album. It's been out for a little bit. It's fun, it's different. But you got a lot of guests on it too. And you got some touring, but we could kind of dive into that.
Okay, cool.
So one of the things is using some AI in your videos.
Yeah.
What got you guys into that? Because I know some people are like really against it, and some people are for it. So, what got you excited
It's not
to
really,
jump into it?
well, we started making a video. We've been working with Justin Lowe for, I don't know, since the early 2000s. And about halfway into making the video, he said, "Hey, this filmmaker tech nerd buddy of mine has the newest, hottest AI program. You're not going to believe this." So he showed me some stuff. And I was like, yeah. He goes, okay, sure, let's do it. So that led down to the rabbit hole of AI film and learning about it. And obviously, anytime anything's new, you're gonna get a lot of
Push back.
resistance. Anything that's new, I'm sure the shovel. That's what I have to say is, when I see new construction, I don't see people out there digging the foundation with their hands. The steam shovel put a lot of people out of work, and the but we're humans. We adapt. That's the one the one thing about us is that. The flip side of being resistant to change is being adaptable to it. So, it is what it is. It's a tool. It's an interesting tool, that's for sure. I highly recommend trying it out. Just you learn a lot about what it is. If you've ever raised children, you know what it is. It's a child. And if you try to steer it too much, or if it believes you're giving it conflicting information, it'll fuck up your project. It'll start rebelling against you.
That's a
So
really good
it is.
comparison. I hadn't thought about it like that, guys. I've learned. I'm a video guy too, so I'm interested in this. But it's really good analogy there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It is. And I think people need to, we need to know what it is. That's for sure. If everyone just ignored it and badmouthed it, who knows what would happen? I mean, it seems like it obviously has to be controlled, and to get a good, sensible video, and right now it's at a perfect place for rock videos because you can't really steer it too much. It does its thing, and you have to go. Then you have to have like a real film editor, which is why it's great that we went in this way that we did with our filmmaker. Because he is a great editor, or he's an adequate editor. I've edited with an editor every video we've ever made, and it's so it's interesting because it's similar in that you still have to look at it and go, I don't like that. I like that. I want that. I want that. Actually, let's move that one before that one. It'll make it feel like the story is going this way, and it'll make it feel like a story, not a haphazard series of random events. So yeah, that's the AI thing. You have to use it and really, really work it over. It doesn't understand storytelling, and it doesn't understand continuity. It doesn't understand a lot of things. It just makes stuff. It just you type in, you try to tell it things, and then it searches the web to see what those things mean, and it tells you what it found. And then you take that information and forge it into the world that you want.
And I agree. I think it's exciting, and I think that's some of the things that this whole album that you have. It's really exciting with the guests and doing the AI. Like it feels like you get to some point in your career where you do the same thing or you keep creating, and clearly, you and your band, you need to push forward. So it's always trying something different. The sound's different. The albums aren't always the same, which makes it exciting as a fan to go, oh, I'm excited. What's it going to be? It's not going to be the same three chords to the next album. You know what I'm saying? So I
Oh
enjoy the
yeah,
videos.
definitely. I mean,
And I
that's
think it's exciting that you're doing that with the video. And I think hearing, I guess hearing like a lot of people are afraid of AI, I think that's because of the duplicating of duplicating of like song like features of the creative process makes people nervous. But on the video end, AI is probably one of the best things that's happened in a long time.
it's the biggest thing,
Oh yeah, it's definitely the biggest.
It's, there's a quote I saw that said before the industrial revolution, nothing disturbed or disrupted the natural progress. Appearance of great humans, of a great, truly great and powerful human would disturb and derail the natural rate of progress and direction. But once the industrial revolution happened, it changed, and nothing has disturbed or upset the natural evolution of society and civilization, civilized humankind, as like the appearance of great inventions. And this one is legitimately scary, because we've been told for years and years and years now, decades now, that this child can destroy humankind. It can utterly reduce the financial structure of Earth to nothing, and set us back to the Stone Age, probably. So there is a legit fear there, but right now we're making rock videos out of it,
Yeah, I
and
mean it's fun.
it'd be great if it stays there. Surely in 5 or 8, 10 years, maybe five, teenagers will be making James Bond movies or the next Marvel movie on their laptop, on their lunch breaks. So it is going to be interesting to watch, and it can't be stopped. No one's going to stop it. So there you go. That's AI. I think
I
that's
appreciate the
everything.
I went to school for audio and video and recording, so that was my college. So it's just interesting, a good take. Thank you on that. Let's talk about the album itself, though. You've got some great guests. Was there a reason? Like, did you go in and write the songs and be like, you know what? No plan. And as it comes out, and then as you heard each song, that's when you said, I think, I'd like to have this person in. I'd like to have Slash come in and start there. Like, as you wrote the
Yeah,
songs, you know what I'm saying?
more or less. We don't really think about it. Like James Mercer, he and I were just on a champagne bender all day, and I said,
A
"Hey,
phrase I don't hear often.
I limit myself only to the grape. I don't do beer. I don't do hard spirits." I said, "Can you sing this part? You've got this voice. I don't have this voice." And he went, "Yeah, for sure." So we did that, and that's how that got there. And then I think the next one was probably Slash. Peter and I trying to lay down that kind of, Vietnam psych acid LSD rock, kind of trippy.
That's like a 70s rock feeling, yeah.
Yeah, and and he, well, a friend of mine is a great guitar player, and the guitar player. I was a drummer years ago, like in high school and stuff. My whole life, actually, every band I was in until the Dandies I was a drummer. But so my old guitar player, one of the coolest guitar players ever, was hanging out, and he's a real sharp, kind of odd, interesting artist dude. And he said, "We're talking about it," and he goes, "You know who the best of that is, and probably the last ever, Slash." And he's the last of that kind of guitar player. He's a purist. He's a purist. And okay, so then you have your people get a hold of his people, and that, we sent him a rough mix with no leads on it, just the gaps there,
Yeah.
and he came back in like less than an hour. That was a miracle. And he's, yeah, Slash wants to play on this. What kind of thing do you want? We said, well, wah-wah, we want, Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And so it came in, and it was, we had expected kind of Jimi Hendrix kind of blues riffs, and he just took it so much farther. It's Middle Eastern riffs, and it's just brilliant. I couldn't believe it. And it was really cool because Peter has to kind of do the Slash parts live, without having those kinds of chops. But what it's done, and it's amazing at this late in our careers and our learning curves, et cetera, to watch Pete learning something he's never learned before, which is Middle Eastern scales. All these really obscure scales and those compressed passages of notes that give it that.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's just so cool. So that was Slash. I think the next one was our manager at the time, who was a really brilliant artist himself, a great musician. I was singing the Debbie part, and yeah,
I want to hear that demo.
and he goes, if you, I probably did say, I can't get my voice to do this thing I wanted to do. But, or maybe not, maybe he just went, if you could have anyone sing that, who would it be? And I, of course, I said, well, Debbie Harry. She's the only living, female vocalist that I have that absolute worship of.
Yeah.
There's Marlene Dietrich, there's Astrid Gilberto, there's a handful of them, but she's the only one still alive. That took a while. We kept hearing back, yeah, passing it around, I don't know. And then somebody said, yeah, Chris Stein loves this track. Debbie will do it. Debbie's going to
Yeah.
do it, and Chris loves it too, and everything. So I think that was kind of, it kind of took a team meeting about it or something to get it. And then it was getting her. They were on tour, and da, 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 da. So that took a long time. That was a
Yeah.
gut-wrenching experience, to hope for something so much, and it's hard. Patience is very difficult. Particularly for artists, because we do
Yeah.
our own thing, we don't have to wait for people really. So that was hard. And God, when that came back, just the silver in beauty and purity, it was, God, it was just like, wow, this song just got elevated in a huge way. And I just never thought that way before. I just thought, well, you just do it and you make it what you are and you do it as you are. And I could have tripled my voice doing it, sung three of them, and that smooths it out and EQ them very narrow. And then you maybe get a fat head who has kind of a choir boy, voice, have him add a harmony or a couple layers of harmonies and balance them out, and it would have been fine. But it wouldn't have been that. It
Debbie
wouldn't, it
here,
would
yeah.
have, it would have stayed at that level of dudes singing falsetto, so that was really spectacular. Charles Thompson, Black Francis, was, he and I have been friends, acquaintances for 15 years maybe. So, I don't remember where he fell in the order of things. He might have been before the Slash thing. It took him forever to do it. But he was in Zurich when I called him because we were trying to have a dinner party in New York and invite all of our heroes. We wanted to, Richard Hell, Longo, obviously Blondie, Friends of the New York Dolls, the dudes that are left of that band. And we just wanted to get, the Strokes, all of our New Yorkie gang, and have a big dinner at the Andy Warhol's arts college. And I knew that he was supposed to be doing art, because he's a painter, that he was supposed to be having an art exhibit with a mutual friend of ours, a Norwegian gal painter, Kristen Blix, and Iggy Pop, and some other kind of great rockers that are very powerful visual artists, painters as well. And so when he answered the phone, I how's it going, how are you, and he was in Zurich, and I am good friends with Andy, who runs the Giger estate. So I said, hey, oh, he said, I got a tour, Courtney, I got a tour bus for myself and my family. My four teenage boys are they land in a couple hours, and we're gonna go on the road together for Pixies tour for a little while. And I was like, wow, that's smells pretty bad. And he said, well, Courtney, when you have four teenage boys, edification is everything. I said, well, cool. What about are they into Giger, And he said, I don't know. I'll have to look into that. I'll ask them and I'll let you know. So he came back and said, well, that went over like gangbusters. What have you got? So I hooked him up with, tours of the museum, the estate, the mansion, and all that stuff. And he uttered those magic words, thank you so much, Courtney. That was fantastic. If there's ever anything I can do. Funny you should mention it. So I said, well, we have this song that's kind of going in a very Pixies direction. It started as a Danzig 4 direction, and it's now gone Pixies-ish too. And I would love to have you play guitar on it. So he said, my 14-year-old is my recording engineer, and he's on tour with me. So we'll get it done at next time we stop and have a day in a hotel, day off in a hotel. And that didn't happen. It just kept going on and on and on. And finally, he sends it back, and it isn't Danzig. It's Love Thyself. And it was because I'm friends with him, but not that good. Like, God, do I did Peter send you the other one too? No, that's the only one I got. It's the only one I received. And okay. Yeah, it's fucking great, dude. Well, we were really hoping to send it over. I'll play on that one too. So we got him on two songs. It's pretty sick. And pretty proud of that and excited about that. On Love Thyself, his parts are in there texturally. So we didn't put him as a feature. We obviously chose the one where the drums cut away, everything cuts away, and it's just ding, 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 ding. It's that classic surf guitar that he's, the sound of him playing guitar. And also we just didn't want to, which guitar is, spend the rest of our lives, which one is Frank Black? Like, oh no, it's just okay. No, I don't want to do that. Like, really? So you don't want to do that for the rest of your life. We've learned. So, hold on a second. Let me bogue this out. It's my manager. Oh, I guess I can just let it go. My manager is calling. He doesn't know I'm doing an interview right now. So yeah, I think that's everyone. We have Pat Spergen on playing drums on Alcohol and Co. He's the drummer for Rogue Wave, and he happened to move to Portland during COVID and just came by the studio all masked up. And so we started, he started hanging out and playing on our little recordings we did during COVID. We did a ton. We made a 30-second to 50-second long song every week, recorded it, and made a video for it and posted it up every Friday. Posted a metal song every Monday, Metal Mondays, Fast Fridays. Yeah, we had a bunch of Toffle Tuesday, different different recipe and piece of music to go with the food and a wine pairing and a film. So if you are into big dinner parties, long ones, our last record that is almost 4 hours long is a nine course dinner party, fully immersive music, wine, food, and film for each of the nine courses. That has Sylvain Sylvain on it, speaking
Wow,
French with Zia. And
that's wild.
that was really cool to get him. He's, bless him, he was such a cool guy. Sadly gone now. Yeah. So yeah, there's a dearth of kind of cool, interesting stuff that we created because we had nothing else to do, and we own a studio and a production facility,
Yeah.
during
But
COVID.
it plays out well though. I mean, it wasn't like it's like it's like a an album full of like all these different artists. It's still very much you guys with a couple extra flavors or seasoning into it, which is a tricky thing to do as an artist because sometimes if you feature somebody else, it can change the direction or it can stand out. It doesn't. It just kind of complements it and works with it. All the
Yeah, we
songs
had
do, and the album still
all
holds
of
it.
them were done when we got them in.
Right.
So none of the parts are foundational. They're all just an artist, weaving in and out of the architecture that's already there.
Right. But they fit
So
into it well without
that's probably
standing out.
why. And also the theme, the rule of the record, every song has to start with a metal riff. And that was it, And then of course we want to push that metal riff's guitar tone. We want to push it. And so a lot of the guitar tones, all the guitar tones I think are just exceptionally cool. But a lot of them are very new. Right off the bat, that Doomsday Bells guitar tone is, a bit, it's challenging, it's really fuzzed out. I mean, it's like having a steel claw gently itching your ear drums, just gently, just, oh, that feels good, but it's just so close to dangerous. And we got a few of those on there, and like obviously the rhythm guitar, the dang, of "I'd like to help you with your problem." That one actually, we had to have that remastered to try to tuck in the high end. It kind of in mastering it had gone to somewhere between hair metal and 90s radio grunge, and
Okay. Yeah.
those are two things that we didn't really we wanted to avoid, any of that overtly commercial, late 20th century kind of stuff that was going on. And we got that fixed in mastering. It's really, yeah, it's just perfect. It has a classic older sound to it, older feel, more kind of Sabbath-y, but with kind of a little more compression, more compressed sustain, just because of the nature of the distortion pedals we were using.
Right.
But there, Pete had a couple brand new tweaker pedals, and that's where That's where, obviously Doomsday and Never Stop Loving You and oh, what's the other? The Cross that also has that crazy pedal on it, has, or a new combination. I think he said that he had three new pedals and he would just use them in varying amounts to until it came up like, oh, never heard that before. We'll do it on that one. And that's, Pete's method. We start a lot of everything in our basements. We all have, little studios and everything. Check this out. You ever seen one of these guys before? Can you see it?
It looks like an old Tascam. Oh, is it a cassette player in it? Yeah, it's an old record.
Yeah. This is, I've
You
had it
break it to a
since.
museum?
Is the Bits Museum. I still use it. This is what I record, root tracks to start things, to start tracks with. The best tape sound, really tape, the best one was Terraform off of our last kind of, song record with song, normal length record called Why You So Crazy. And it's got this synth sound that is that synth back there in the corner, the MS-10 sitting on top of that amp. And that amp has a little spring reverb in it. And I got that, I was a goth club kid growing up, and there's a thing about that era, and not all of them, it's not like I listen to Howard Jones and go, God, those were great sounds. I listen to Transvision Vamp and that kind of stuff and go, early Depeche Mode, Mark Almond, Soft Cell, and go, those are amazing
Right.
sounds. And I nailed it. So if you're into that at all, go ahead and listen to a Terraform, which is the second track on Why You So Crazy. It sounds like it got sampled off of a 1981 New Romantic record.
I think you that's the thing with all your albums, they really sound so different, like all the songs. That was my point earlier, like it really. And I was trying to, and I'm familiar with that song. It's a good song. It feels kind of like it has a haunting feeling to me. But even with this album, the way it rolls and it is kind of fuzzy, but it also feels kind of big and bouncy in some parts. And I really couldn't put a term on it, how it the sound you capture on this album. Like it encapsulates stuff you've done before, but you have new sounds on it, and I think that's something you guys are really good for. And the way you put melodies into the songs and the way you do your lyrics is always really interesting to me, because I'm like you hear it and it makes sense. You're like, kind of like when you do something like the Beatles and they do a song and you're like, that is the easiest, most simple song ever. But then you keep try writing a simple, easy song, you can't, because it's brilliant. Well,
Or
sometimes your
try,
lyrics do that to me. You know what I'm
oh,
saying?
yeah, right.
It's
Well,
similar to
lyrics are
me where it
crazy.
does that, where it's, you're like, oh, that makes total sense. That feels like a very simple, basic song. But then if you think about it, you're like, oh, that's not very simple and basic. And I hear that in your songs, how it seems like it might be just easier than it really is, to the ear, to the listener.
Yeah, maybe. I immediately, when you said that, I was like, Polythene Pam. That seems like a three chord song, and it is not.
Right. I mean, anybody that plays music and plays the Beatles goes, oh, I get it now. I get why it's, you know what I mean? I get it. I get what they did. Like, and then how did they do that out this many years? Like, all of the blue, where'd this come from?
Yeah,
So
totally. I just bothered to get around to learning Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence, which is, one, two, three, four chords, and
yeah.
it just and it's but it's a long cycle. The whole thing, that cycle is rather lengthy, but and it's that classic. If you learn Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme, that's not the name of that song, Scarborough Fair. If you learn that, it does things that classic folk thing, and Sound of Silence does has this structure that is phenomenally simple, but also really complicated in a kind of pre-Renaissance folk way. Now I collect music from the Renaissance. I still collect CDs, and now they're, you know, free. They're 50 cents a piece. But it's a great way to get really weird, obscure, one-off collections of music from the Renaissance or late medieval period. And I try to learn a lot of them, and I like to put it describe it as a nail in a board, and you've got a rubber band. And everyone's done this as a kid, I think. You stretch it one way, then you stretch this way, then you move around this way, and you can stretch it this way,
Okay, yeah.
and then you stretch it this way, and then you move this way, and then you stretch. But you the center's always there, and there's a lot of different ways, but the center's always there. And that's that folk thing. And I know the Beatles, a lot of it is it has that weird center, and it's how many ways can you stretch it that are delightful and not exactly predictable to surprise and delight
Right.
before you resolve it. And that is what kind of all that simple sounding feeling stuff, and that's what all we've ever tried to do as a band is make things really simple, fulfilling. Simple is engaging, but emotionally engaging, you know, it's easy. But how do you keep it going? And that is by expanding vocally or melodically with other instruments that come and go. And but yeah, all of that, you know, the Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel, Guillaume de Machaut, you know, Thomas Tallis, like it's this thing. And I, you know, I always say we have more in common with more in common with you know, the Renaissance than we do with you know, actual like boogie woogie rock and roll blues rock.
In song structure, I would say I could see that right off the
And
top. Yeah.
melodic structure, and
Yeah.
also trying to not resolve as regularly, I guess. There was
I think that
there
in
go
your
ahead.
music, no, I'm saying, I think that's to me, I think that's when you're putting the verb into like what I enjoy about your music, what I've always found special about it is the difference of you of it and how it's done. And this totally is a great breakdown for me as a fan too, because you know
Yeah,
it's
cool.
much more clear, because I know I liked it and why, and I have my own ideas obviously, you know, play music myself, but this is a great perspective that I didn't even wouldn't have even known.
Right. Yeah. I mean, not a lot of people listen to Renaissance music. If you know, I go to the concerts, you know, there are you know, they're often called Baroque choirs or Baroque, you know, orchestras. And they're generally pretty small, you know, maybe eight pieces at the most, generally like four. Sometimes you get more, 8 or 10. But they tend to do more, you know, the more of the Renaissance stuff. And they do like to do it in old churches, and they're never full. There's never more than 80 people or 60 people or 40 people, you know, it's a rare thing. It kills me. I mean, I just love the Renaissance has produced such great music that I feel the way about it, the exactly how I did about, you know, Sergeant Pepper when I was, you know, 16, or Satanic Majesties, or, you know, just Dark Side of the Moon, or, you know, any of the great mind and soul and body expanding music. I feel that way about the, you know, Gabrielli.
Is there any Zappa influencing you? I noticed You go around
I
and
dude, I love Frank Zappa. But you know, he's a guy that's just so much. There's so Frank Zappa is so was so Zappa that, you know, like I'll listen to 25 minutes of Zappa and I'm full. A Man from Utopia is kind of my favorite. Well, actually, Joe's Garage and Man from Utopia, I would say that era right in there is great. You know, he was just such a neat and a sad fucking mess. You know, like he lived on coffee and meat, like coffee and hot dogs, I think was his diet, you know, and cigarettes, coffee, cigarettes, and hot dogs. I've been told, I don't remember who I knew that knew him, or I know maybe still, or maybe that was just an interview with him that I saw,
I never heard the
because
hot dogs about that part. I know a lot about him because I do a show with Dweezil, his son. So I do a lot of shows with Dweezil.
Oh,
So I've
cool.
heard a lot of side stories with Frank. And as he's talked about, Dweezil's broken down his albums, which is always exciting, the sounds and stuff. And to
Right.
me, even I said the Zappa influence, I meant like just more about taking things and building off of them. It can be inspiration. You can be influenced by somebody else, and it's not the music itself because you don't sound like Zappa. What I'm saying is just the
Right.
another creative
Yes,
source that goes against the
I do
grain.
find I find Frank Zappa and his history. You know, I've watched the TV show where he's a kid, he's got the bicycle,
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
you know, and yeah, I find him super inspiring, you know, everything about his wacko thing. And I mean, if you're a artist for life, a musician for life, particularly in an armpit like Portland, Oregon, you know, I was 15 years old when I started playing in punk clubs.
Yeah.
So you know people like that. There's only one place they can really end up. Two, NASA or punk clubs,
Yeah.
fringe
Cringe.
clubs, fringe art scene. So I love those guys. It was and Fr Frank is the most successful one I've ever even heard of
Right.
that character, super brainiac tweaker type. No drugs except coffee, I guess. Is that his thing?
I think it's just coffee and smoking, obviously. Yeah, and smoking was not a really good thing for him in the
Co
end, you know,
yeah,
obviously.
coffee, cigarettes, and hot dogs.
Yeah, I had never the hot dog, to be honest with you, because I'm not into the, I never really into the lore. I usually hear that, like, usually we're talking, I've heard a lot of stories about how, you know, the recording in a studio, how we created, you know, this the ship coming in with, you know, the Drowning Witch, the song, the tones are really out there. The vocals are like so not right. This is Drowning Witch, and it's so when you listen to the song, it's so off, and Dweezil had said, "Hey, he like it's totally not right, like to your normal ears," and he called Dweezil into the studio when he was doing it. He was laughing so hard, he knew how crazy it was, and he was like slapping the console, laughing, falling off the chair, that he thought it
Yeah,
was so
he's the
funny that
and
he did
he's the
that.
only one, and he's the only one laughing in the room.
Yeah, so he got that and played for Dweezil, and that was the song how he came up with it. So he was, yeah, in on his own joke. So he thought it was kind of funny. But to do what you want with your money and to still do it and be creative,
Oh.
I always respect anybody, whether it be, you know, Zappa or anybody, you know, like you, that just keeps doing it to do it.
Right. Yeah,
With all
well,
these
that's
new
why
songs, how do they carry over now? You
I
know.
like to apply the old line from Spinal Tap, you know, because we always do something new, right? We always have to, you know, okay, we've done that, you know, that was fun, that was great. We've explored it. Next record, we're going to go do this. And some records, we just don't have any rule. It's just whatever comes out, blah, blah, blah. Like our last one, Why Are You So Crazy?
Right.
Definitely, where was no rule of the record. But I always like to say that's why we never get any better, is because we're always trying something new. And the Spinal Tap line, the growth rate of this band cannot even be charted.
It was that, or you're going to say, I told, you know, no, put Danny Warhol's after the puppet show, put the puppet show first. That would have been the
Danny,
other one
if
I would
I've
have thought,
told him once,
right?
I've told, oh, I use that.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, we have a different one called Balcony, and we call it Balcony Closed, The Autumn Years.
That's good. That's
Yeah.
funny.
Right
Too
now we're
calm.
getting, because the record is, you know, it's really catching fire, and I think it entered the one of the Billboard charts. He see ch Tastemaker maybe? I don't pretty high. And so our
Congrats.
shows are definitely selling a lot more tickets, and the balconies are not closed anymore. We're enjoying balconies open. You know, sometimes like we, you know, sometimes we sell the whole thing out. Like, whoa, I haven't done that for a while.
That's awesome. I
So
think
that's
that's what I'm saying. This album has some special moments that I think people that aren't so hardcore and listen to like the whole life, the career of you guys, from the outside, casual music fans, are going to be able to get into it, which economically is great for a band, but it's also you still being who you are. So it's not like it's like, oh, they sold out. It's just this one just hits where I think other people are going to
yeah,
get
well,
it.
the let me clarify that idea of selling out.
No,
Like,
I'm not saying you are. I'm not. I would
try
never.
it, try it. See, I've never seen it work for anyone. That's why
Right.
we've never ever tried it. You know, we just don't try it. We like, how would you, if you try to sell out, I guess maybe even worse, try to sell out and fail. Now, how do you feel about yourself?
Well, I agree.
How do you look to other people? Even more. Well,
Well,
no, who cares?
your creds are gone. Your creds are gone too. You know, for what you had originally. You know, you got to be.
Yeah,
But I think you guys
exactly.
were you to the sound though. You didn't. There was no nothing. It was kind of a great mixture on this album, and I'm
Yeah.
interested to see how you guys are going to put the new songs in the set list.
Oh yeah. Well, we just play the singles because, you know, we construct them like electronic music. We construct them in the studio. You know, we play in and then chop them around like blocks of
Okay.
sound, to, you know, to get the flow to be great. And then we have to learn them later.
I always
So
love that. The artist goes, I gotta love my every song.
we have learned exactly four. So our set is what it's always been. You know, one, two, three, or four songs from each record, and that's it. And I'm sure there are records that we're forgetting about that there's nothing
Yeah.
from on the in the set. And but that's what happens when you've been around for, you know, 11 records.
That's a good problem, though,
It's not a
to
bad
complain about.
problem to have.
You know what I'm saying? If you're going to call it a problem, be like, oh, I'm never playing enough songs. You're like, oh, you mean you like enough of my songs that I'm not giving you everything you want? Wow, thank you. You know?
Yeah, we used to have to play sets where we would start out and play all our songs, all six of our songs, half tempo. At half tempo. So, like TV theme song, the first song on our first record would be
Oh God.
La. And we would do, and we would dress up in suits and we'd play at this. We just set up in the corner, sing through a Fender Twin amp, head, you know. Harmonies, do our vocal harmonies, and then we would crank. We would do a set like that, and it was in a cocktail lounge that had signed pictures of all the Rat Pack. It was in the bottom of the Portland Plaza Hotel, which was kind of the last place that they would all stay and hang out when those guys were touring, probably in the
Yeah.
70s, I guess, or maybe 80s, early 80s,
Yeah.
probably the last time of those guys, you know, Sammy and, you know, Frank and stuff would tour. They would stay there, and so the cocktail lounge was like diamond tuck booths, leather booths, and it was really swanky. And so we would put on suits, and then we would crank up the volume. We'd take a break, get hammered, and crank it all up, and play them all, you know, the normal tempo. And that would end up being like, that wouldn't end up being a 38-minute set. That would be a 19-minute set. But I mean, in that 19 minutes, that was the first kind of the first thing we ever did was to play that place every Wednesday. And it turned into a wild scene. It was no indie rock band had ever captured the young queer scene. So it was boys in suit jackets, but, you know, stripped down, shirts off, dancing on the tables, you know, in that second 10 minutes, 5 minutes into that second set, and lying down the block to get in. And it was, yeah, it was really fun. But we play coffee shops and have to relearn our songs and reorchestrate them for coffee shops, because in the 90s, coffee shops are very popular, being able to play acoustic. So we have a different person. So we've always looked at music songs as just a blob, and wherever you are, you shape it differently. It's still that same blob, but you adapt it to whatever the texture of the room is,
Atmosphere, yeah. That's fantastic. I like that. I also like the idea that visually you described the band first playing. I'm like, God, that's a good idea for a video at some point. That they all go back in the suits and go redo it for a
Yeah,
new song. It'd be kind of funny.
right. Yeah,
That would
yeah.
be a crazy funny idea.
Right
I
there.
think
Yeah,
I.
the big, totally yawn trend for videos is the band's playing and there's a small town dance contest going on, and the judges, and oh, they have all crazy local characters doing their dumb dances, and
Right.
oh, they're and yeah, that's a new trend. Maybe we should do that video, because it's got that small town vibe, but it's without
Right.
doing the cliche.
It would be kind of funny because it was something you did do, so it'd almost be a tongue in cheek thing, like a joke on top of a joke on top of a joke. So it would be, I mean, to me, it just feels like it'd be so much be interesting to see that just redoing it as an adult and be kind of
We
funny.
certainly wouldn't want people our age with their shirts off anymore, though.
That's ageism, and I agree with
Right on.
That's awesome.
All right.
I want to thank you, man. This has been fantastic
Awesome.
to
Thank
listen to
you.
you talk.
Thanks for
Thank you much.
being a fan and everything, and digging and getting into what we do.
Yeah, I've been a big fan. So people check out, there's going to be a link underneath the show and the podcast and on YouTube. Go get their stuff, support them, and good luck on your tour. I think you're starting in Australia right soon or something.
Well, we just got off of a tour.
Oh, that's right. I had the
We
wrong date in front of me.
did a couple weeks in America, and then in a few weeks we go down to Australia and do a couple
Okay,
weeks
so
down there.
yeah.
That
That's what
one's
I'm thinking.
already that whole tour is already sold out. We had to add extra dates, and then those sold out too. So that tour went from a
That's awesome.
tidy 10-day tour to like 16 days. Well, it's grueling. We're not 22-year-olds, and we're not gonna. Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard because we want to drink too. We want to drink and we want to
Right.
party. Some members of the band have a hard time keeping it together still, which is I find very impressive, but it's also really ugly.
I give you challenging. It can be challenging to find a balance of fun.
It's
You have a
gross.
fun
Yeah,
professional career, is what it is, and
it's hard to
it's a
be
different,
around.
yeah, it's a different dance you have to do each night. But thank you, and yeah, it's been great.
Okay,
People
man.
check out the album.
All
thanks
right,
man
man.